You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Ron Rivera is with us, as he is every Friday here on the Kevin Sheehan Show at 8 a.m. on Fridays. He is presented by FH for plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and electrical. Get comfort now, pay later, with 60-month same-as-cash on a brand-new HVAC system. Learn more at FHFur.com. That's FHFur.com. FH Fur, absolutely the best. Ron, I want to take just a moment and go back to last week. I know it's Friday, and usually we're on to, you know, what's next, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I'm curious about one particular moment in the game. Third quarter, you guys are up 13-10. You had just gotten a stop on the Chiefs' first drive of the second half. You had a negative play, a minus 4-yard play on the throw to Humphreys, and you were facing 4th and 6 at the Kansas City 24, up 13-10. Did you consider going for that?
Oh, I did. I considered going for it. But at that point, to me, probably the big thing I was thinking is if we can get points and keep some momentum off of that, that might be a plus for us. I mean, again, the beauty of this is hindsight's 20/20, but I don't think I would have changed my mind. I think at that point, because the game has been such a game as it was, we're at home or on the grass against these guys, and I figured this is a chance to put points on the board.
Yeah, it's funny because I was going to ask you, against an opponent like that, and you said these guys, and it's on grass and the whole thing, and the thing was going well for the most part, but do you go into games against an opponent like that thinking, well, we've got to be more aggressive against them. We've got to take more chances because we're going to have to score a lot of points to win this game. Do you have that mindset sometimes against an opponent like that?
I'll think about it going into the game, but I'll also do things based on how the flow of the game goes. In 2013, we were playing New Orleans at home, and you know that was at one of their peaks as well as an offensive team, and it was a very similar game up to that point. I think at one point it was 13-10. We were down 3, and I figured because we played so well defensively, our punter's been having such a good day, that we would putt, trap them down, and get the ball back. There's like 3.5 minutes to go. I had 2 timeouts in the 2 minute. So I chose the punt, and I got criticized for it during the broadcast, as a matter of fact. But what happened was we stopped them. They punted to us. And we drove down, and actually Cam Newton threw a game-winning touchdown. So, again, to me, each game has its own personality. You know, you can go into it thinking one way or the other, but I think you have to react to what happens in the game as well. And, you know, with 5 minutes left to go in the third quarter, I felt pretty good about how we had been playing all day.
How did you know you got criticized on the broadcast of that game back in 2013?
Oh, because when you watch the replay, they couldn't stop talking about what is he doing. You know, he may never get the ball back. And I was thinking to myself, you know, when we punted, is that I felt really good about how we had played defensively against one of the top offenses in the league that day. And I thought if we could keep it and maintain it, we'd get the ball back with good field position, which we did. And we were able to go down and score to, you know, and the thought was we'd score and tie and then see what happens. But we went all the way down and Cam caught him in a zero blitz and threw the ball to the corner of the end zone, front part of the end zone for the game-winning touchdown.
So you watch the actual broadcast of the games rather than just the, you know, the all 22 and all of your film. You actually watch, you know, the Fox or the CBS or the NBC broadcast of the game?
No, that's what everybody told me.
Oh, everybody told you that. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'll be honest. If I watch a game, I don't need to have, listen to the broadcast people tell me stuff. I will listen to a game of a team that we're about to play, because sometimes, because the broadcasters, they'll catch something. They'll get something from the team, from the coaches, from the players. That might be a little nugget that we could use for later. So I will listen to those, prior to playing a team, just if we can catch something.
Yeah, that comes from those get-togethers with the broadcast team that you have, on Friday or Saturday, whenever you get together with them. I've always felt in listening to the broadcast that the guys calling the game actually have some insight, because you guys tend, is this true? Don't you tend to open up a little bit more to them than you do to other people?
Well, for the most part, a lot of that stuff is stuff you figure that they're not going to use specifically. And they may not say that it's from you, but they'll say something that is from you, but they won't credit you with it. And, if you're looking for little nuggets or paying attention to it, something may slip out that could be beneficial. And it's funny because, I've listened to these guys before and I've heard stuff about, when they run this particular play, what they're looking for is not just the box count, but really what the formation, what the front is, and so now you start thinking, okay, well, why would they, okay, I see what they're talking about when you watch that specific play.
Yeah. I've always listened for that because I know these guys. And in fact, when I hosted the pregame show for years, I would try to get whoever was calling the game for Fox or CBS on the pregame show to kind of gauge what they had learned from their conversation with the coaches on Friday. We're talking to Ron Rivera. By the way, back to that fourth down, not that you care. I totally, in context, agreed with that. I thought it was a minus play on third down. It was fourth and six, and to take a six-point lead in the moment felt like, you're going to be in this game. And so I would jump to what happened next. Was that the kick more than any other that ended his stay in Washington, Dustin Hopkins missing a chip shot 42-yard field goal?
I think that was very instrumental in my decision, being honest about that. A lot goes into the decision. Prior weeks were part of that, but sometimes, unfortunately, when things like that happen, there's an accountability that we have to go through. And, the thing about it is Dustin will kick again in this league. He's proven it, and he's done a good job, and he will kick again.
Yeah. All right. You said earlier this week you may need to change your approach, your coaching approach. What did you mean specifically?
Well, again, just certain things we've done this year are things that, we've done in the past. Some things that we can add on to those things, I think, is part of it. Just the way things are pushed and done as far as on the practice field, in the meeting room.
I'm not sure many specifics were shared there, but I understand. That's fine. So the decision to cut Dustin Hopkins, which, by the way, I guessed that it was the 42-yarder, and I have a feeling that that's really what did it. Because if he had missed a 55-yarder in that spot, he'd probably still be kicking for you this week, wouldn't he?
Yeah, that's on me. And anytime I send a kicker out to kick anything over 50 yards, that's a 50-50 proposition. And, you would love him to be better than that in terms of plus 50-yard kicks, but that's the truth of the matter.
But
as I go through this, there's a lot of things that play into why we make the decisions we make. But at the end of the day, it was my decision and I own it.
Yeah, and I want to belabor the Hopkins thing. That wasn't my intent here, but I'm just curious. You gave the example a couple of weeks ago about Graham Gano and your patience with him in Carolina. So how much, you've just said it, that he's going to be kicking somewhere else. How much of this decision are you sweating a little bit?
I'm not. I mean, Kevin, when I make a decision, I have to go and I have to live with it. So once it's done, there's nothing more I can do about it now and just make sure that the other things we do are right. And that's what I'm trying to do now. Just because, again, it is a decision that I have to own. And so with that having been said, to me, there's nothing else to worry about other than what's going to happen next.
So back to, you know, you're changing the approach. Is part of that, like, different approach sitting down with Landon Collins, as you described the other day, and explaining to him, even though he wants to be a safety, that he's a downhill in the box player? Because you hadn't done that with him before. Is that part of the new approach?
Well, that's one of the things that he and I talked about last week anyway. And you know, and then this week we talked again, and again it was the explanation that, you know, he's a box player. He really is. You know, he plays out in space. You know, it's to me it's kind of more like a hybrid nickel position, because if you drop the other safety down to the opposite side, which we will have, it's really who's the safety and who's the big nickel. I mean, that's kind of what it's evolved to. You know, and a lot of teams play what they call the hangovers, or these are the guys that hang over the edges. So, again, it's a matter of semantics and how you look at it.
Well, is he going to cover anything other than something out in the flat?
Oh, yeah. He could end up covering in the seam based on some motions and stuff like that. He could also end up playing man. He can also end up blitzing. He could also end up fitting inside versus the run, or fitting outside versus the run. There's a lot of football to be played at that position. You know, and it's a very important position, very vital position to what we do on defense.
Talking to Ron Rivera, we do so every Friday here on the show. Taylor Heinicke said on Wednesday that he feels like he's been trying to be perfect, and that hasn't allowed him to be, you know, the best that he can be the last few weeks. He said he doesn't want to overthink things. He just wants to play football like he's done his whole life. You know, implying, Ron, that it's something – he also implied that you guys talked about this a little bit. Do you think, you know, for the lack of a better description, that you've pulled the reins, or Scott's pulled the reins in a little bit on him the last 2 weeks or not?
No. I think, as he said to you, he's trying to be perfect. And that's one of the things that I told him. I said, hey, you don't look over your shoulders. You know, you may make mistakes, but I'm not looking to pull you. I'm looking to have you continue to stay out there and be our quarterback. And I just wanted to make sure you understood that. I told him that when he first got the reins, when he started his second game of the year. You know, and I think when you watch him and you see some of the hesitancy and some of the things he did, I thought he was trying to be perfect, trying to put the ball perfectly where it needed to be, instead of just throwing it like he was doing earlier. And I think as he gets back to playing that style of football, we'll see the guy that you know, we all believe that when he's out there on the field, we have a chance.
Were there opportunities for him Sunday like he had in Atlanta or even against New Orleans, where he could have gotten out and really made a defense pay with his legs as a runner?
Well, I know this. One of the things that they did was they rushed him a little bit differently.
Yep.
They had a guy spying. They had either a defensive back or a linebacker that was down tight in the zone. That was, you could see him visually checking on him.
Spying him?
I don't know if I just call it spying as much as just checking on him. And then it looked like some of their defensive line stunts were really directed in trying to fill certain gaps. And so, yeah, would I say that they had an idea, a plan to rush him a specific way? Yes, trying to keep him in the pocket. But I also think he did it to himself a little bit, staying in the pocket a little bit longer instead of just going and pulling it down and running, because we know that he can really be dynamic when he's on the move.
Back to defense for a moment. Are you guys less aggressive this year through six games than you were last year, especially with extra man pressures?
I would think that we could probably blitz a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, and in talking to Jack, I think that's something that we are looking at. You know, one thing you want to be able to do is if you can rush with your four-man rush and get pressure on the quarterback, that takes a lot off of your secondary. And one of the things that we've got to be able to do is do that, be more successful with a four-man rush. Although I thought our guys did a nice job to the point where, you know, at really in the third quarter, well, the end of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter, Patrick Mahomes was able to pull the ball down and scramble for some pretty good yards. And again, that's tough because, you know, you're trying to get your guys to play coverage, and you know, in some situations they got their back to the line of scrimmage, and you hope that you can get to them with your four-man pressure like we had for the most of the game. And it's unfortunate it didn't work that way.
Is that one of the more frustrating things through 6 weeks, is that defensive front, with four-man pressures, just haven't been able to get home enough?
I think one of the hard things is, you know, we haven't been consistent as a defense as a whole. You know, there are some aspects of the game where it all ties in. If we're connecting to receivers the way we should, the quarterback will double clutch and give the rush a chance. Or, you know, or if we are connected, but yet quarterback a little bit more time, it's tough. So we've got to get on the same page as far as rushing coverage. It's things that we're working on. And when you see it, you see some good things. I mean, one of the sacks that we had on Patrick Mahomes, if you look at, we had all four defensive linemen converge at the same time. And you look at the coverage and you see the connections. You see us covering up the guys that are in the flats, the guys that are in the seams. That's, you know, when you know it's working together, because now the quarterback's got a double clutch. He's got to hold the ball a little bit longer.
Talking to Ron Rivera, as we do every Friday, just a couple more and I'll let you run. So how much are you guys offering for Tua?
Oh, we're not even in that conversation. That's crazy. not sure where that came from or who made that up. Sounds like some people trying to drum up some business, you know, but that's kind of what happens this time of year because trade deadline's coming in 2 weeks, I believe. So, you know, they're going to see a whole bunch of names are going to be thrown out and a whole bunch of teams are going to be interested in all this kind of stuff. And, you know, you have to kind of sort through and see what the truth is. And you know, we're not involved in that at all.
More seriously, though, you know, with the trade deadline coming after the Denver game, will these next two games dictate at all how you guys handle the trade deadline? Meaning, you know, you win two, you're sort of on course with the guys that you have, you lose two, and all of a sudden you're 2-6. And, you know, you might be, you know, using a baseball term, a seller. Will the next two games dictate at all how you handle the trade deadline?
No. I think what dictates is week by week. You know, we'll play this game and do the best we can and play to win, and then we'll see what happens after that. But, you know, where we stand and all that stuff is, you know, this is about the development of this football team more than anything else, the development of football players. And, you know, we'll look at what we have as a football team and we'll continue to work on that.
That's a perfect segue into this, actually, because I you just mentioned the goal is to continue to develop football players. And you've talked a lot about, you know, this culture rebuild, and it's a process. And you know, even a few weeks ago, I asked you about the expectations. Were they too high? And, you know, you said not necessarily, but I think on another show, you said, you know, maybe going to the playoffs wasn't the best thing. I'm not going to hold you to any of the things that you said, but I'm curious, in the process that you're going through right now and trying to rebuild the culture, to change the results that have been so awful around here for two decades, how important is it to be competitive along the way, Ron, so that people keep believing in the message, you know, in your plan?
Well, I think it's important, but I also think it's important because, you know, we would love to get the fan base back, and that's one of the things that we're trying to do. You know, a lot of these things that have happened, I constantly go back to my second season in Carolina. You know, my first season, we finished strong down the stretch, which we did my first season here. Our second season, we struggled mightily because we had brought in a lot of new young players and tried to get them integrated into what we're doing. We brought in some free agents that had to learn how we did things. And then quite honestly, at the end of the second season, you know, we saw the growth we were looking for. And coming into our third year, you know, things changed and turned around. And to me, you know, winning is important, and it's something that you want to do every opportunity you can. I hate to lose. I really do. But I also know that, you know, through the difficulty, through the hard times, you know, that's where you build your strength. That's where you learn your lessons. You know, they always talk about it that, you know, success is a great teacher, but adversity is a great teacher. It's a better teacher because you learn more from it. And that's really part of it. So as we go through this and reflect on a lot of the things that we've done to this point, yeah, I'd love to have won a few more games, but at the same time, I want to make sure we're growing and learning at the right pace, that the guys like Jamin and Sam and Diami and Benjamin are taking steps and taking strides going forward, because, you know, they're basically our future. You know, you look at the guys from last year and you're hoping that Chase continues to grow and continues to play like he's starting to play again. You know, that's exciting to watch when you see him get back out there and do those things. And, you know, you hope that Cam Curl continues to grow. And, you know, you just want to see that move forward, you know, that Antonio Gibson continues to learn to be a quality running back in this league. So that's the thing that keep me going, to keep me excited, is knowing that there's growth and there's development and we're learning.
All right, last one. Keys to beating the Packers. I mean, last week Mahomes, this week Aaron Rodgers. How do you win in Green Bay Sunday?
Well, I think one of the first things you got to do is you've got to be able to contain him. Keep him in the pocket. And, we have that ability. Next thing is you always have to make sure you understand where 17 is. I mean, Adams is special. He really is. And then you look at Jones, 33, at running back. He's a dynamic player that we can't let him become a dual threat. He's just as dangerous catching the ball as he is running it. And then Tanyan, the tight end, he's a guy that makes plays. We can hopefully get after the quarterback, keep him contained. Offensively, we've got to score in the red zone. We get down there early, we've got to be able to put the ball in the end zone. And then we've got to be able to run it successfully so we can control the clock and the tempo of the game. That's another thing that I think that we have to do. And then special teams, we have a chance to be dynamic. We have a chance to be explosive. We've got to go out and do that.
Best of luck Sunday at Green Bay. 1 o'clock kick right here on your flagship home for Washington football, the Team 980. I enjoyed it as always. We'll talk next week.
All righty, cool. We'll talk to you, Kevin.
It's Ron Reveri's, presented each week by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Get comfort now, pay later with 60 months, same as cash, on a brand new HVAC system. Learn more at FHFur.com. That's FHFur.com. FH Fur, absolutely the best. He said something about special teams there at the end. I'll mention that in more detail. I think I know what he's talking about. It could be a big Sunday for DeAndre Carter. I'll have keys to a win over Green Bay, smell test, prediction on the game. Brendan will weigh in. But up next, we'll find out a little bit more about the Packers with Matt Schneidman from The Athletic. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.